Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show.
On a Monday morning, and no, I'm not Bill Arnold, but he'll be back tomorrow. That's the plan. Rebecca, as we mentioned last hour, it brings to mind The Princess Bride. Get used to disappointment. But we're looking forward to having Bill return. And speaking of disappointment, if you're a Vikings fan, well, it wasn't your evening last night.
Unfortunately, not.
Yeah, no. Getting the miracles twice in a week. That's.
They didn't go to Miracle Max, unfortunately.
That's right. They could, yes. Yeah. And it was worse than a paper cut with lemon juice in it, I think, wasn't it, for a lot of Vikings fans. The Philadelphia Eagles, though, why, they played well, so I wish them well playing against the Patriots. And you need to be on your best to play the Patriots because it looked like Jacksonville was leading. And then Tom Brady and the gang came back. Amazing game, the first game, 24-20. The Patriots beat Jacksonville. And last night it was Nick Foles and the Eagles trouncing the Vikings 38-7. So I went to bed at halftime and thought, you know, good night's sleep will be fine.
Although, I suppose that is one benefit.
There is, yeah, of working early. You get to go to sleep. Although I did, we have a dog in the neighborhood that's doing a little overnight noise making. And I was thinking, I wonder if I could pretend that this is one of those sound machines and those are just waves crashing the shore. But there wasn't quite enough rhythm.
Such a peaceful bark.
It wasn't a steady rhythm. It didn't work. So anyway. All right. Today, the 22nd, this is the anniversary date of the Roe versus Wade decision way back in 1973 that allowed women the right to an abortion at any time over that 9-month period. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later this hour with Dr. Richard Land. We'll reflect on that, March for Life, and more. We're also going to talk sports. Of course, it has been in much in the news, and the Super Bowl coming up in a couple of weeks in Minneapolis. So we'll get some perspective on athletes using the platform of sports to share their faith with Clay Meyer from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So the 22nd today, looking at Proverbs 22, of course, some well-known verses in Proverbs 22, like Proverbs 22:6, train up your children in the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. Proverbs 22:29, it's a good verse for us. So here, heading out to work on a Monday morning. Do you see any truly competent workers? They will serve kings rather than ordinary people. It's a reminder to pursue competence in our work. And Proverbs 22:3 reminded me of a prayer that Andy Stanley and his wife have prayed for their kids over the years. He's talked about it many times. And in his messages, by the way, if you're looking for a good podcast to listen to, I recommend Andy Stanley from North Point Church. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent person foresees the danger ahead and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. And they developed a prayer out of that verse, and it goes something like this. Lord, help us see trouble coming long before it gets here, and give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. So we'll make that our prayer today as we head into the morning together on the Early Morning Late Show.
About this moment, what this moment's meant to me is probably going to go down as the third best moment of my life, behind giving my life to Jesus Christ, marrying my wife, and this one's right there close.
Well, that was from a week ago, following the Vikings' 29-24 victory of the New Orleans Saints in the divisional playoff game. Vikings quarterback Case Keenum calling the game-winning touchdown special and describing it as the third best moment of his life. Wasn't the best moment for Case and the team last night. But we are going to talk about sports and the opportunity to use sports as a platform to share faith. And with us today, Clay Meyer. Clay is editor of FCA Magazine, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Clay, good morning. Welcome to the Early Morning Late Show.
Good morning, Neil. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here with you guys. I know your listeners maybe are a little bit sad this morning, but still some great topics to talk about.
Yeah, we, you know, in Vikings fans, this just adds to the lore of, so year after year after year. So this is, I'm sure this is making us heartier, but Clay, you know, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I know that was an important part of Case Keenan's life, and we'll kind of get into that in a moment. But there is something about the platform of sports that really is a truly wonderful opportunity to talk about faith, right?
Yeah, I think that so FCA has been around for more than 60 years now. It was originated by a coach in Oklahoma who thought that if athletes and coaches could endorse even things like shaving cream and cigarettes and do stuff like that, why couldn't they talk about their faith and why couldn't they promote their faith? His name was Don McLennan, and he really just mortgaged his whole family's future and to get this organization up off the ground. He had a 20-minute meeting schedule with Branch Rickey, who's famous for helping Jackie Robinson get into the major leagues. And Branch Rickey thought it was a great idea and really was a big financial backer to get the ministry going. And we've just seen God's fruits from it since then. He's really just his provision for this ministry has just been amazing. And to be able to see what the ministry looks like now is just amazing. So we tell people that there are kids and even coaches that may never walk into a church and may be intimidated by just the thought of going into a church. But they'll listen to somebody like Case Keenum talk about his faith, and they'll listen to somebody like Clayton Kershaw or major athletes or coaches or Dabo Swinney, Clemson's national championship coach. When they talk about their faith, that opened their mind and eyes to something that they may never have heard of before and be more interested in it. So it's really been that kind of mission, reaching the coach. A coach like Reverend Billy Graham has said, a coach can reach more people in 1 year than most people can in a lifetime. So if they're living it out, living their faith out, and sharing their faith with their athletes, the potential impact is just exponential. And that's really what FCA is all about, and just being able to reach more people for Christ through the vehicle of sports.
Is there, I mean, obviously you're at all levels of sports, right? Is the program, the strategy the same, whether you're working at maybe a college or high school level or you're working with pro athletes?
Yeah, I think that, it's our field staff. So we're based, and I'm here in Kansas City, Missouri. That's where our national offices are. And we have field staff all around the country and now even out into the world. And it's really a grassroots kind of ministry that our field staff are going into even grade schools, middle schools, high schools, and they're ministering to coaches and even reaching athletes through what we call huddles, which are basically small groups that meet weekly or every other week there in the schools. And then that ministry, so they're kind of exposed to it really in high school. They do that during the school year, and then in the summertime they'll go to a camp, an FCA camp. And that's really how FCA started, was the FCA camps in the summertime. But now we're really reaching out to schools and then also community groups, like just getting the community involved, and then also reaching out even to adults, wanting them to get involved too. So the kids are exposed to it during high school, but then also there's college huddles and college camps. And then even as those athletes then get into the professional ranks, a lot of our staff are actual chaplains for teams, or they're even having those athletes come back and speak at the college huddles that they went to, too. So it really reaches just every level of sports that you can think of. And we're even focusing, too, now are trying to reach out to the club sports because a lot of kids might play their high school sports, but then once their high school sports season is done, they're going and playing on their club teams, just playing the same sport year-round. But we want to reach out to those teams, too. So just trying to do our best to reach out to all the different places that sports are taking place and be able to share just the message of Christ. And that really comes down to just there's innate inside every competitor is just this drive to want to win and succeed. But with that comes a lot of pressure too. And when you don't succeed or you don't win, we want the athletes to know there's more to life than just winning and losing. And when you have a faith background, when you have that faith inside of you, you understand that you're playing for something more than just the trophy at the end. And that's really what Case did, what Case Keenum did at the end of that game with the Minneapolis Miracle was it wasn't all about him. It wasn't all about just this play, but being able to use that platform that God had given him to share his faith was just an amazing testimony.
In fact, I think I understand what he started dating his wife, and the FCA was involved in that early on, right, when he met her.
Yeah, it sure was. I mean, Case, we were so excited just even about him and the potential of him playing in the Super Bowl, but that doesn't take away at all the story that he's able to share. Just his dad was a coach for a long time and actually is now on staff with FCA in Texas. And so he was born and raised in the FCA ministry, and that was where he met his wife, was at an FCA event. And then the two of them just stayed involved with FCA through high school and then into college. And he was on the cover of our FCA magazine when he was a quarterback at the University of Houston, where he set a whole bunch of records but then wasn't drafted. And we just went through a couple of different stints with both the Houston Texans and then also the Rams when they were in St. Louis and in Los Angeles. And then finally got his break this year when he was with the Vikings. And, you know, how unexpected was it that he ended up being almost putting up MVP numbers, but he wasn't even expected to play much as the backup to Sam Bradford going into this season. So just an awesome story to get to share just how God has a plan for your life, and it may look completely different than anything you imagined even going into a specific season, but just a great season for him. But yeah, his dad's been on staff for a couple decades now, and his wife Kimberly was even on staff when they were based in Houston. She was on staff for about 4 years, and his mom and sisters, just everybody in the family has been involved with FCA. So just a great example of just how FCA can impact a young life, and it can have an impact just throughout, even to the professional ranks.
Talking today with Clay Myers. Clay Myers is from Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He's the editor of the FCA magazine. And we're going to hear a little bit more from Clay in a moment, talk a bit about the Olympics coming up as well, and you know, just maybe some encouragement for athletes listening, how they might be able to use their platform to share faith a bit more boldly and effectively. All that coming up just ahead. It's 18 past the hour on the Early Morning Late Show. After the hour already on a Monday morning, it's the Early Morning Late Show. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill Arnold. Talking to Clay Meyer today, editor of the FCA magazine, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, a great ministry, working with athletes all across the world. And I know it's not just sort of football that you're involved in, but you've got a story about hockey and the Olympics, of course, coming up here in just a couple weeks as well. You got a highlight about one young lady who is making a big difference, not only on the rink, but living out her faith. Say a bit about Gigi Marvin.
Yeah, Gigi Marvin, she was recommended to us by our FCA hockey ministry. And Gigi is from War Road, Minnesota, which I didn't even know until I actually interviewed her that has the official term Hockey Town USA.
Yeah.
So she, that is, if you're born there, I don't think you have any other option
but to
be a hockey fan.
And, that's right.
So it's been great to see her. She's experienced a lot of success just in the women's hockey, having won 2 silver medals for Team USA. And we were able to interview her, and she really just sees her life now as just an opportunity to share her faith and the platform God's put her on too. After winning a couple of silver medals, she took some time away from the game to go and just do an entire year worth of ministry developed, so almost like seminary school, to see how she could better incorporate her faith into what she does for a living, and that's play hockey. And to be able to share her faith, we have, if people go to FCA.org and find the magazine tab, they can go and find her story, in which she just shares from her heart the different experiences of growing up where she did, and feeling, I guess, even in some ways, just the pressure to be able to play the game of hockey, but now how it's just given her a platform to share her faith. And she shares it from the first person, so she tells the readers just her story. And what an awesome way. I think that there's a lot of spotlight that gets put on the NHL, and to be able to share just even a female athlete's perspective, being able to play in the Olympics, is quite the story to be able to share. So we're excited to see her too be able to compete in the Olympics, along with a couple other stories that we have with a snowboarder named Kelly Clark, who's one of the best snowboarders in the world. She's won medals, a lot of medals, just in the X Games, but also in past Olympics. And then Lena Myers Taylor, who's one of our one of the United States bobsledders, who will be competing in the Olympics too. So she and her husband are both Olympic athletes, and being able to compete for another medal at the upcoming Olympics. So it's just some great Olympic content, and being able to share people's faith, again, like away from what you think of the major sports, whether that's baseball, basketball, football. The Olympics kind of captures the world's attention in a couple of weeks, and we're excited to be able to have some content from that too.
Check it out. FCA.org is the website, and you can find the tab for the magazine and read some of those stories and just kind of get plugged in with the great testimonies of these young men and women. And Clay, is it something that, you know, maybe if we're just playing some recreational sports, or, would have the opportunity to, someone asked us, all right, what were the three most important moments in your life? I mean, maybe just give us an encouragement to be more bold in our faith, or to use whatever platform we have. What would you say?
Yeah, if I was talking to a coach, I would share with them a specific quote that Dabo Swinney, Clemson's national championship coach, when we talked to him and he was able to just share his heart of what he thinks as a coach, he said that one day I'll be accountable to God. What did I do with all those young men that he entrusted to me? So I think that when you have that kind of eternal perspective as a coach, that these young men and women aren't necessarily just there to help you win games. And when you see almost just beyond the results on the court or field or ice or whatever it may be, that just changes your perspective. In FCA, we talk a lot about a 3D coach, and that is the three dimensions of coaching is just the X's and O's, and then the psychological part of it, just encouraging them to get over the pressure of sports. But then the third dimension is just a spiritual dimension of how are you pouring into their life spiritually and just helping them grow. So a coach, we just want to encourage them that God's blessing them with these athletes every year, and how are they just encouraging them and helping them grow on the court and away from it. And what will they look like? What will those athletes look like at the end of the season, and how will they have poured into them? And as an athlete, we hear all the time from professional athletes, college, high school, just Colossians 3:23, doing what they do for God and not for men. Either that or Philippians 3:14 that says, I pursue as my prize the goal that Christ Jesus has set before me. So every athlete wants to win a championship. Every athlete wants to win even just a game. But when they change their mindset to pursue as their prize just what an eternal treasure of Christ and bringing him the glory, I think that just changes everything. It releases the pressure and stress of trying to impress their coach or other fans or even your parents. And instead just shifts the focus to, I want to glorify God in what I do when I compete. And that's even something that just, when you sit down at your desk at the beginning of the day, how are you going to bring God glory in what you do? I mean, it doesn't have to even be in sports, but it can be in the business place. It can be as a husband, a father, as just a mother that's taking care of their kids too. So we want to encourage people in every walk of life to pursue God and what they're doing and make that the prize that they're going after.
Good word for us today from Clay Myers. Clay is editor of FCA Magazine. Check it out, their work and the writing online, FCA.org. Clay, thanks for coming on with us this morning, and wish you well as you continue to do ministry among these gifted men and women. It's great to have you on today.
Neil, thanks so much for having me. I hope you guys have a great day.
27 past the hour. It's the Early Morning Late Show. We've got John Stone Street coming up in just a moment with the Breakpoint. The wonderful verse, 1 Corinthians 6:11, that has a phrase in it. It says, "Such were some of you." And you'll hear the story and just be reminded. Yeah, all of us can look back and see God's grace at work in our lives. So be encouraged with that coming up in a moment. And then in about 10, 15 minutes, Dr. Richard Land will join us. We'll talk March for Life and more. We're at 27 before the hour, and you're listening to the Early Morning Late Show. I'm Neil Stabem, sitting in for Bill Arnold this morning. If you're new to Faith Radio, welcome. If you appreciate great commentary and conversation, happens each morning here, and of course, wonderful Bible teaching throughout the day. We got a welcome packet to give you a little bit more information about us, and you can sign up for that free packet online at myfaithradio.com. The Early Morning Late Show is about faith, hope, and clarity, and there's more coming up in about 10 minutes with Dr. Richard Land. Coming up in a few minutes, Dr. Richard Land makes a visit, a regular appearance here on the Early Morning Late Show, and we'll talk about the activities around the March for Life today, the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision way back in 1973. We'll get to Dr. Land's perspective on that in a moment. First, though, a good word from Owen Strand, a professor and author, written a book called Be of Good Cheer, and he's reminding us that if we're living in fear due to maybe a work situation or a relationship situation, Owen says, there's some encouragement for you today.
I would say to this person, just know that God's sovereignty, God's control over all things, God holding the universe in his hand, not simply us, is not a theological fact for a textbook. It is a theological fact, actually, for our lives. It is a truth that will break strongholds of fear. Because if we recognize that God is over all things, then we will know that this world can't do anything to us. Ultimately, it can try, and it can even leave a mark. But our souls are secure in God. So knowing God's character, knowing God's attributes, His sovereignty, His kindness, His love for His children, His power, His awesome power, will tremendously help us here.
Owen Strand talking about living the adventurous life. You can find out more, get the full interview on our website, myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. Owen Strand's last name is spelled S-T-R-A-C-H-A-N. So you want to look for that. He's got some great insight, as does Dr. Richard Land, and he's up in just a minute.
Do you have video games at your house? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. It's not bad to have video games in the house. Most likely, it's a lot of fun for the kids. And maybe you jump in from time to time as well. But what happens when gaming becomes an obsession? It started out as a way for your teen to hang out with friends, but it's become all-consuming, even addictive. Mom, Dad, don't let it slide. As a parent, you need to set up healthy boundaries that are age-appropriate. Like everything else that goes on in your house, keep your eyes open. Don't check out. If your teen can't balance his life on the console, help him find healthy alternatives.
Learn how to navigate your child's turbulent teen years with Mark Gregson's free course. Get instant access by visiting freeparentingcourse.com.
Minutes before the hour in the Early Morning Late Show, Monday, the 22nd of January. It's time to visit with Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. It's a leader in Christian apologetics education, and Dr. Land's authored or edited more than 15 books I always love talking with him, getting his insight and perspective. And of course, today, the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision, and all this weekend have been activities in Washington, D.C. and around the country around the issue of life. And Dr. Land, we had the president actually addressing the March for Life rally, and that's a pretty big deal.
It's a very big deal. As someone who marched through more than 20 of those marches, that's a first. And I'll tell you, you know, every time I look at the scene, or I remember walking through those marches, I wish the Supreme Court's decision had been in June, not January. But no, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And it shows, you know, this president has shown a very deep commitment to the pro-life issue. He was not always pro-life, but clearly this is convictional for him. You know, I was stunned when he said during the debate with Hillary, you know, this is a human life, and the fact that it was probably the strongest statement made by a presidential candidate since the Roe v. Wade decision. And it was made, of course, against the most pro-abortion candidate ever nominated by a major party. Mrs. Clinton was the first presidential candidate of a major party to be endorsed by Planned Parenthood. And, you know, when you go to that march, I'll tell you, it gets younger every year. One of the big differences between the pro-life movement and the pro-choice movement is that we've got a lot more young people, because pro-life people have their babies, and they grow up to be pro-life.
It is, in fact, I mean, statistically, that's pretty significant, isn't it? There's an increase in certainly valuing life among young people. There was just a recent poll out that's showing that continues to grow.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's almost inevitable. Most young people are going to grow up reflecting the views of their parents. And there's a 41% fertility gap between people who are pro-choice and people who are pro-life. Pro-lifers have more babies, and those babies grow up to be pro-life. In the baby boom generation, of which I'm a part, you would have to assume that it was about half and half. But starting with the legalization of abortion, the percentage of the population that were pro-life, they had significantly more babies and continue to have significantly more babies. I'll never forget, I was protesting opening of the largest abortion clinic outside of China, which unfortunately is in my hometown of Houston, operated by Planned Parenthood. And there were thousands of young people there carrying signs that said, we survived Roe. Roe won't survive us.
Are we obviously Neil Gorsuch has been, you know, appointed at the Supreme Court level. There are a number of other. I mean, the president has appointed many other judges. Do you see some changes taking place in the courts as a result of actions from the president?
Oh, no question about it. Another one of his promises that he made that he is keeping. No president in my lifetime has been more consistent in nominating strict constructionist, original intent jurists to the court system at the appeals level, at the district level, and at the Supreme Court level. Many evangelicals that I talked with during 2016 said that was the number one reason they were voting for Donald Trump, because if Mrs. Clinton had won, we would have lost the Supreme Court for at least 20 years. And we would have lost the federal judiciary perhaps for 20 years. Now, with Mr. Trump putting people like Justice Gorsuch on the court, we are in a situation where we're one vote away from beginning to really take huge chunks out of Roe and maybe overturn it. And we're going to see, as Mr. Trump appoints more and more judges, that the judiciary is going to increasingly take on the role they're supposed to take on constitutionally, which is to interpret the Constitution, not rewrite the Constitution according to the whims of their own views. And that's how we got Roe in the first place. Abortion was significantly restricted in almost every state in the country, and it, with one fell swoop of judicial imperialism in the Roe v. Wade decision, they struck down virtually all of the restrictions on abortion in every state in the Union. And the American people have been in an uprising against that ever since. Sadly, 60 million Americans have died before they were born in the intervening years. And I believe that's one reason why I think God is judging America. The ails that beset us, many of them can be taken right back to the Roe v. Wade decision. We've lost, at least temporarily, some of the capacity to govern ourselves because we're being governed by judges. But I'm encouraged. I believe that if I live out a natural lifespan, and I'm 71 years old, if I live out a natural lifespan, I believe that it's very, very possible that I will live to see Roe overturned.
We look forward to that day, and I hope that you live long enough to see the Vikings in the Super Bowl, but that might be a little longer stretch. But, all right, we're going to talk more with Dr. Richards.
I was pulling for him.
Thank you. We need a little more pull and a little more defense or something. But all right, we'll get back to talking. There's a significant decision that the president has given healthcare workers. We're going to talk about some religious liberty protections. Get to that in a moment with Dr. Richard Land here on the Early Morning Late Show. 47 past the hour. Ten minutes before the top of the hour, I got a few more minutes with Dr. Richard Land, president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, an author and a former president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, a leader in moral and cultural issues, talking about some of the big issues of the day. There's one decision the president helped push through that hopefully will make a big difference for doctors and those in the healthcare profession, the religious liberty protections. Just say a bit about this important step.
Well, I think it's a tremendous step he's putting in place over at the appropriate cabinet positions, the in the Justice Department and other places, an office of faith-based compliance, basically, that is there to protect healthcare workers and others who have conscience objections to helping to facilitate abortion, either through abortion counseling or through prescribing drugs that cause abortions, or healthcare workers in terms of being forced to provide abortions or to assist in abortions, or in the case of insurance, to have to pay for abortions. This is it's basically a watchdog group set up to protect the First Amendment religious freedom and conscience protections that are in the Constitution of the United States. And I think it's a tremendous step.
Well, I know as you've been on many times in the past, religious freedom has been a conversation many times because it is being pushed, it seems like, at every level and every facet. And so this is an important step, especially for those in the medical profession.
Well, it's an unprecedented step, actually. This is the first time that anything I know of has happened like this, and it's very needed. If you talk to healthcare workers and people in those professions, increasingly they are being compelled or coerced to participate in that which they find unconscionable.
Speaking of unprecedented, I mean, we're at a time now when the government is shut down again. It doesn't seem like there's much statesmanship or maybe even leadership, but the president continues to get things accomplished. I know, that gets kind of lost in all the fussing about his ill-timed tweets, but it does seem like there is some significance being accomplished for just 1 year in office.
Well, there are clearly lots of things being accomplished. I think sometimes that the president is his own worst enemy. It's like he takes two steps forward with some tremendous policy win, and then takes two steps back with some let's just say ill-timed tweet. it is what it is. I wish he would tweet less, and I wish he would have at least someone say, you know, Mr. President, do you really want to say this the way you're saying it? Because I certainly find the style and tone of some of the tweets to be discomforting. But he's, you know, this the economy is going gangbusters. As I said, he's continuing to appoint strict constructionists, original intent jurists who will interpret the Constitution and not try to rewrite it on behalf of the American people according to their own views. I think that he has kept his promises to the pro-life community in spades. And, you know, we have black unemployment at an all-time low, Hispanic unemployment at an all-time low, national unemployment at a 17-year low, and just almost immediately as a result of his tax cut, we have tens of thousands of workers who are getting significant bonuses. Now, they may not be significant to Nancy Pelosi, but I think most Americans don't think a $2,000 bonus is crumbs from the table. And they will, you know, when you're a multimillionaire like Mrs. Pelosi, perhaps that's not significant. But for most Americans, it is very significant. And jobs are coming back. I keep thinking about back during the election, President Obama was mocking the president, and he said he says he's going to bring all these jobs back. How's he going to do that? Well, sit down and watch, President Obama. Mr. Trump is giving you a tutorial on how you bring them back.
It's been quite a year, and as you said, hopefully, I think Ed Stetzer always praised that Mr. Trump would be better president than he was a person, and we can pray for that for all of us, I guess, that we'd be better people with God's help. I was curious, we get just a minute or so left. Richard, you're president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, so, you know, you have a prominent position. I'm sure you've probably had times where you've hit send on an email that you regretted. Do you have someone that kind of, you know, checks your work on a regular basis? Do you have some checks that keep you from doing what you don't what you might be tempted to do?
Well, I don't. I actually have never sent an email that I have regretted sending, because I don't. I hit an internal pause button before I send any email, and say, okay, now do I want to say this? And if I have any question, I'll just wait 5 minutes and then decide to do it or not do it. I don't tweet. I have enough trouble keeping my foot out of my mouth without adding to them. My subordinates all have historically they've had a card in their wallet that says, they call it their get out of jail free card, where I say, it says on there, this is to remind you that you told me to tell you what you didn't want to hear. because, you know, no one is immune to foolishness, and no one has a monopoly on wisdom. And so when you get to be the chief executive, you have to encourage people to tell you what they think, or else increasingly they don't tell you. And when that happens, you make mistakes.
Well, Richard, thank you for telling us what we needed to hear, and great insight as always. Appreciate you coming on the morning show, and I look forward to your next visit.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, on the line. We're going to wrap up the Early Morning Late Show in just a minute. Thanks for tuning in to the Early Morning Late Show. Bill Arnold will be back tomorrow with you, and I look forward to that. We also look forward to the Super Bowl coming in a couple weeks, although Vikings fans would have preferred different representation. But the Eagles will square off with the Patriots in Minneapolis on February 4th. So there's still time to celebrate some football and We'll see if the government can get back and running today. They're having a key vote set for noon Eastern time today. Republicans, Democrats trying to hammer out a way to shut down back on. So you have a great day. Thanks so much for listening in.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.